Malachi chapter number 1, it's the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter number 1. Had a good week this week. The conference was a blessing. Very eye-opening thing. Malachi chapter number 1. We're going to kind of just go through this. It won't take us very many weeks. Go through Malachi. I was thinking about maybe doing several of the prophets, and I told the preacher about it, and he started laughing at me. I'm like, what? I'm like, you know, when a preacher starts laughing at you when you tell him you're wanting to do something, it's kind of like, oh boy, what am I getting myself into? He's like, well, they're all just judgment. I'm like, well, that's true, but we'll pull some stuff out besides just judgment, I think, on some of these. So, not to discourage you or anything, but Malachi chapter number 1, and we'll start in verse number 1. Bible says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. And now, I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons? Saith the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen." Let's pray this morning before we get started. Lord, I do thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that you just help every class that's going on this morning, and pray for the teachers and those that are helping in the classes, Lord. I pray that you would just bless them and help them, help the preaching services to follow. God, I pray that you just be glorified in everything that's done. Lord, I pray that you be glorified in this lesson. And as we just look at a wonderful attribute of you, Lord, and I pray that we would just magnify your name. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go back to verse number 1. We're going to just start here in verse number 1. Bible says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." And then verse 2 is where we're really going to kind of plug in and look at. But it says, "I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob." You know, that I kind of thought as the first thing out of the chute, you know, the first, within the first two verses is an amazing, amazing truth. And we're just kind of going to focus on this just for a few minutes this morning. We're not going to be long. But an amazing truth, you know, the very first, four words in verse 2 is God says to the children of Israel, "I have loved you." And I want to talk about God's love this morning just a little bit. And we're just going to look at a few attributes of God's love. But first, if you look at this, the verse 2 through 5, who is God kind of giving a comparison here of? It's Jacob and Esau. All right, so if you can with me, go back in your mind to the story of Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau were Isaac's sons. They were Abraham's grandsons. And Jacob and Esau were very different boys. Jacob was what I've heard a lot of people say, he was a mama's boy, okay? Jacob was, he stayed in the tents and he stayed with his mom most of the time. Esau, on the other hand, he was kind of his daddy's boy. And he would go out and he would hunt, and you know, he was kind of the man's man of the two. Now, if you really look at, and this is kind of one of the amazing things about God's love, but if you look at Jacob and Esau, personally, you know, if I look at them, Jacob's a little heathen, all right? I mean, he really is. I mean, he's lying all the time. He's deceitful. I mean, he's making soup, which I still really don't, that I don't know why he's doing that. But his brother comes in from, you know, a long day in the field, and he's making this soup, and, you know, he swindles his brother out of his birthright, okay? And then later on, Esau lost his birthright. And, you know, did Esau do anything wrong? No, I don't really see where Esau did anything wrong to this point. And so he swindled his brother out of his birthright. And then later on, after his dad is blind and his dad's about ready to die, Isaac asks and says, ask Esau, he's like, Esau, I'd like some savory meat. And Esau said, well, I'll go do so. Esau went out hunting. Well, I mean, it's not like, you know, I was in the back, but Brother Harding said he'd go out in 45 minutes. You know, now I've done that a few times, but normally it's, you know, several hours before you get, you know, you shoot something. All right. There have been instances where it has been much quicker than that, but most of the time it's not. And, you know, so Esau is going out, and in the meantime, Jacob is and his mother are conniving, Rebecca are conniving to, there again, rob a blessing that belongs to his brother. Now, did Esau do anything wrong? No. Honestly, I don't see where Esau, you know, has really done anything wrong. He's just doing what his daddy asked him to do. And so Esau's out there and he's out hunting. And in the meantime, back at home, you know, they're putting on garments and trying to fake Isaac out because he's blind. And so Jacob goes in and he tells his dad that he's got the savory meat. And Isaac's like, wow, that was fast. It's one of them fast moments where you got your meat fast. And, you know, he's like, but the voice doesn't sound like Jacob's. And, you know, I'm sure at that point, Jacob's like, oh, no. Because if a man's got the power to bless you, I think he's probably got the power to curse you, too. You know, and at that point, Jacob's like, oh, no. And so he's like, come near my son. He felt his arms, and they had put animal skin. Now, I don't know, but boy, Esau must have been one hairy fella. I mean, to, you know, rub a goat's skin and think, oh, that's my son. Like, ugh. All right. I mean, I don't know, but anyway, that's another lesson there someplace, I'm sure. But, you know, he thinks it's his son, and Jacob, you know, gives him the meat, and Isaac ends up blessing Jacob, and then Esau, you know the story, Esau comes back in, and at that moment, Isaac knows that this is not right, something's wrong. Well, here is the one place that you see Esau really do anything, and what does he do? He gets mad. Can you blame the guy? He's got his birthright stolen from him by his brother. Then he goes and then is the blessing that he should have had as the firstborn is then stolen from him. Okay? So you look at Jacob and Esau, and of the two, if you would think, well, which one would God look at and love? Which one? Personally, I would say Esau. Why in the world would you love Jacob? Now, obviously, Rebecca did, but I don't know, you know. Jacob had probably done a lot of things for his mom while he was in the tent. You know, done the dish, I don't know, you know, whatever he done. Done the dishes in the sink, you know, the sink that they had. Sorry, I go back to children's church. I make a lot of stuff up that's really not technically, but it helps their imagination when you do children's church. So I'll enlighten your imagination some in the Bible while I'm teaching Sunday school here. But, you know, he's helping his mom. So, you know, but honestly, if you looked at, of the two boys, you know, if you had these two boys in your Sunday school class or these two boys in children's church, I'm going to like this child over here. I'm going to like Esau better than Jacob. You know, it's kind of like my daughters, okay? You know, Emily's always trying to swindle Gwen out of something, you know, and it's not, you know, it's not that I love one of them more than the other, but Emily's always, you know, Gwen will have a toy. So Emily will go just over get one random toy because she wants the toy that Emily has, and she'll be like, "You want to play with this, don't you?" And Gwen's like, "No, you want to play with this." And Gwen's like, "I don't want to play." And so, you know, then she ends up taking it. It's like, "Emily, no, we don't do that." All right? And that's what basically Jacob did. He swindled his brother, and then he stole his brother's birthright. So of the two, you think, well, which one of these would God love? We would think, I would think, Esau. Did Esau really do anything that was wrong? No. And you know what? You kind of think about that, but look at verse number two with me. Bible says, "I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness." Remember the blessing that Isaac gave to Esau? He said, "You're going to be a man of the wilderness." And he tried, Isaac, in his best attempt, he tried to still bless Esau. He really did. Remember when Esau, and I believe that Esau was a blessed man, because there was a whole country, Edom, was a result of Esau. But remember when Jacob went to meet Esau, that Jacob, or that Esau, remember the group of men that he had with him? He had, I don't remember the number, I should have looked, but he had like 600 men with him when he came to meet his brother. Well, obviously God had blessed him to have control over 600 men, but he was a different, but the Bible says the Lord hated Esau. Why? Why in the world? What did Esau? And you know, folks, sometimes I think that our love, when we say love, we don't really mean love, and we'll get to that in the last point here, but we don't really mean love, we mean favor. There's a big difference between love and favor. Favor is when somebody does something that's right and you show maybe an affection to them for doing right. That's favor. Love is unconditional. Love, it doesn't matter. You know, and when God saw Jacob, he said, and I don't know why. Why did God from the foundation of the earth choose Israel, which became Jacob's name later on, when they were, after Jacob sent his family across, when they were about ready to meet Esau, and Jacob wrestled with a man, and he touched his thigh, and Jacob said, I won't let go until you bless me. And so the man, which I believe it was the Lord, he said, I'm going to call your name Israel. Israel. So it went from Jacob being supplanter to Israel, son of God. And you know, why? Yeah, you ever wonder that? Why did God love Israel? Why has God blessed Israel all down through the ages? I don't know. But one thing I do know is that, number one, is this the first thing that we're going to look at today, is that God loves first. God loves first. Did Jacob become to the point where he loved God eventually? Yes, he did. But did he love God to start with? No. Because he wouldn't have stolen things from his brother. He didn't love God. There's no reference that Jacob did anything that showed his affection to God. And he did nothing to deserve God's love. You know, folks, I'm glad that I didn't have to earn God's love for me. You know what? You didn't have to earn God's love. You didn't. All right? For God so loved the world. That's everybody. For God so loved the world. Did the world do anything to earn God's love? No, just the opposite. Just like Jacob, just the opposite. You know, Esau may have been a good boy. But you know what? At some point, maybe God knew that Esau would, well, I've done what's right, so God should love me. But Jacob, did he do anything that deserved God's love? Absolutely not. So Jacob didn't deserve God's love. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. Use our Bibles a little bit this morning. We'll mostly be in Romans and Ephesians, just for future reference. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 19. Most of you know this verse. 1 John 4:19. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. You know why Jacob ended up loving God? Because God first loved him. Why do we show God love? Because God first loved us. Okay? So God loves first. God loves first. None of us just come up with, oh, I love God. No. You know why we love God? Because God first loved us. Think about it. That's true. It's a true statement. We love him because he first loved us. All right? And, you know, God loved us when we were unlovely. God loved us when we were a sinner. Even those that may say, well, I've really never done anything gross sin, doesn't matter. God still loved you when you were a sinner. God still loved me when I was a sinner. So God first loved us. Romans chapter 5, another very familiar verse. Romans chapter number 5. Verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what that means? God showed his love toward us even though we were sinners. God showed his love towards us. You know what? God showed his love towards Jacob even though Jacob was a sinner. Why, Brother Chad? Why did God? I don't know. Why did God love Jacob? I don't know. Why does God love me? I don't know. Why does God love you, Brother Chad? I have no clue, because honestly, there is no reason that God should love me. Because of my sin, there is no reason that God should love me. But that's the attribute of God's love. And that's what love is. You know, if my daughters do something bad, does that make me stop loving them? No. I love them unconditionally. Will you love your child unconditionally? Now, and we'll get to this in the last point. Remember what I said. Favor and love are two different things. You can live in God's love, but not live in God's favor. And that's a very different thing. Okay? But you know what? God loved Jacob. And you say, Brother Chad, why did God love Jacob? I don't know. But you know what? God loved us. Why does God love us? I don't know. But I'm sure glad he does. I'm sure glad he does. So God loves first. God loves first. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with grace, with Christ. By grace are ye saved. There again, God loves you even though you're unlovely. God loves you even though you don't do things that honor God. That doesn't change God's love for you. Remember the message preacher preached not too long ago? What was it? I love you, but why are you making it so hard? I think it was something along those lines. You know? And I think that's why God's like, I love you, but you're really making it difficult right now. But you know what? That goes back to favor at some point. Okay? God's love is, I don't think God loves this person over here any more than this person over here. That's not the way love works. Okay? God's love is unconditional. The Bible says even when we were dead in sins, God still loved you. God still loved us. Even God loves a sinner just as much as he loves a Christian. It's universal. For God so loved the world. Doesn't say for God so loved the Christians. All right? Calvinism says that God only loves certain people. It's not true. It's not true. God loves everyone. All right? For God so loved the world. Okay? So God loves first. We love him because he first loved us. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All right? So we love him because he first loved us. But God loves first. God loved Jacob first before Jacob ever loved God. Second thing here is God's love gives. God's love gives. Romans chapter 5. You're in Ephesians, right? I think you're in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. I'll switch it up so you don't have to move. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2. Ephesians 5, verse number 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and listen to this, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So we're encouraged to walk in love, but you know what? Because, why? Because Christ also, remember, God loves first. So we're to love, but that's because Christ loved us first. And we're to walk in love, but that's why? Because Christ loved us first. How did Christ love us? We're shown right here. How did Christ love us? As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That's how God showed that he loved us, was through offering his own son to be a sacrifice and substitute for us. Romans chapter 5. We were just there. Romans chapter 5, most of you can probably quote it. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God showed his love first. God gave, because of God's love, God gave. And you know what, folks? That is probably the premier attribute of love, is giving. Love gives. I think I preached a message once about that. Love gives. You know how you can tell that I love my wife? Because I give to her. I give to her. I give her of myself. I give her of my finances. You know, if you don't love somebody, you're not going to give to them. Okay? Now, God's love is infinite. Ours is a finite love. Our capacity for love is limited, if that makes sense. We can only love so many people because there's only so many people that you can give to. Does that make sense? Okay? I can love in a certain sphere, but at some point, I don't have anything else to give, so my love is limited. God has everything to give, so his love is unlimited. All right? But if you don't love somebody, you don't give to that person. If you don't love God, you're not going to give God your time. You're not going to give God your money. If I don't love my wife, I'm not going to give her my time. I'm not going to give her my money. You know how that is. All right? No, she does really well with money. But if I don't love her, I'm not going to give her those things. But you love somebody, and when you love somebody, you're going to give them. Love gives. But God gave the ultimate. God gave his own son for us. So love gives, and we God's love gives. So God loved us first. God's love gives. With my daughters, you know, how you said, Brother Chad, how do you show your daughters that you love them? I give to them. You know, it's my responsibility to rear them up. All right, and to provide for their needs and to give to them. And think about that through your life. You know how, you know, most guys, whenever you propose, all right, what is the I don't know what term to use, token, you know. Most, you know, some guys might do it different. I don't care. I don't want your story, believe me. All right. But, you know, most guys go up and, you know, what's the initial thing? They say, I wanted to ask you to marry me. And they do what? Give a token. A token of that. All right. They don't, you know, sitting on the couch, hey, you want to marry me? No. Well, maybe. Sorry, that's why I said I don't want to know, all right? I don't want to know. But you know what? You give something. You give something to that person as a token, all right? My wife, when I asked her, it was cold when I asked my wife. This is just kind of a funny story, all right? It was cold when I asked my wife if she would marry me. And, man, I was freezing, okay? Like, I had, like, a real light jacket on, so I'm, like, standing there shaking. And then I get, like, nervous about things. You know how, like, when you're getting ready to shoot a big deer, you kind of get that, like jittery. Well, that's the way I felt, okay? So I'm like shaking because I'm cold, all right? And I'm shaking because it's like I'm really nervous. It's not like, I don't know why I thought I was so nervous. I didn't, you know, I guess she could have said no. I wouldn't have really blamed her a whole lot, but, you know, so I'm shaking. And then she's got her hands in her pockets, okay? So, I get down on one knee, you know, like you're supposed to, I guess you're supposed to do that. So I did it. So I got down on one knee. And I was like, Rachel, would you marry me? And she got her hands stuck in her pocket. She couldn't even get her hand out. Like, I think she was nervous too, all right? So she got her, and she's like going like this, trying to like take the ring, all right? And I'm like, for a minute, I'm like, because she didn't say anything. Like, she's trying to get her hand out. I'm like, you know, you got that like sinking feeling when you miss the deer. You got that sinking feeling. I was like, oh no. And then she's like, yes. And she finally got her hand out. I was like, whew, that was close. All right. But you know what? I gave. And you know what? When I stop loving her, you stop giving to her. You know why people have problems in marriage? Is because it's both parties. Okay. Nothing's ever one-sided. But preachers taught it. But you stop giving. Stop giving. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's, you know, whatever. But you stop giving to that person. All right? So God loves, first of all, God loved us. Second of all, God gave to us. And he gave the most precious thing he had. He gave the most precious thing he had. And you know what? It was to Jacob. The one that you would think, God shouldn't love them. God shouldn't love them. So God loves first. God loved us first. God's love gives to us. And the third thing we'll look at this morning is God's love never ceases. God's love never ceases. You know, folks, there's a lot of things you can do in life that are not good. There's a lot of mistakes that you can make in life that are not good. But you know one thing that never changes and you can always rely on is that God's love never changes. It doesn't cease. It doesn't stop. God's love doesn't stop just because you've done something that you shouldn't have done. God's love doesn't stop. And I'm thinking about maybe doing the book of Hosea. But you know, Hosea, God told Hosea to go out and marry basically a harlot, is what God told Hosea to do. And then she left him, and God told Hosea, go back and find her and buy her. I think he told her to buy her back. I can't, and Hosea did exactly what God, and you know what that was? It was a picture. It was a picture of what God's relationship, listen folks, is to a lot of Christians. Amen. You know, basically God told Hosea, he's like, your love, I think it was for Gomer, was that her name? Your love for Gomer doesn't change, shouldn't change. Because my love, this is a picture of what my love is for Israel. My love for Israel doesn't change. Even though Israel went after whoredoms and went after and followed other people, you can go, folks, listen, you can leave God, but God's love will never leave you. God's love always wants you to come back to him, all right? God's love never ceases. Romans chapter, I think you're in Romans 5, go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse number 35. Romans chapter 8, verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, listen, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, we got bad times coming in America. I believe that. I'm not a doomsday person, okay? I'm going to preach a message probably sometime called Preppers. All right, preppers. Now, some of you, that's a totally foreign term. Some of you know what I'm talking about, okay? But there's a whole subculture of people called preppers out there, okay? And but you know what? If bad things happen in America, you know what? one thing is not going to change is that God still loves you. God still loves me. You know, the devil can't change the fact that God loves you. The Bible says principalities or powers. Devil can't change the fact that God loves you. He tried with Job. He tried to change the fact that God would love Job. He wanted Job to curse God. That's what his ultimate thing was. But you know what? God still loved Job. Even though God allowed all those things to come into Job's life, you could almost go through this whole list here of things: tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Most of those things happened to Job. Maybe not to him directly, but to his family. And God said, I still love you, Job. I still love you. You know what, folks? You say, Brother Chad, I've had some pretty raunchy things happen in life. God still loves you. God still loves you. You know, I heard the song, He's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. So what could be wrong? He's still on the throne and he loves you. So that's a pretty good place to be. And aren't you glad that God's love is unconditional? Unconditional. Last statement I want to make, and I'll maybe explain it briefly. If you could take one thing out of this, God's love is unconditional. God's love is unconditional. God's favor is conditional. God's love is unconditional, but God's favor is conditional. I've said it over and over and over in children's church. I love my daughters no matter what they do. But my favor is not always on my daughters. You know, if you got a child that, you know, if it was Jacob and Esau, you know where my favor would be? Esau. Because he earned my favor. He done what was right to earn my favor. And most of you, if you've got kids, you've had a child, you know, at the end of the day that just, ran you ragged. And then you've got the other one, you know, for some reason, sometimes it comes in, you know, pairs, seems like. But you got one child that, you know, just did exactly what you wanted to all day. And then you had the other one that just, they just got into everything. They disobeyed all the time. Well, at the end of the day, who are you going to give a favor to? The one that obeyed you. That's exactly right. But who are you going to feed supper? Both of them. That's love. The brownie after supper is favor. You know what I mean? God's going to provide for you whether you do what you're supposed to or not. But the little extras in life, which personally, I've experienced God's little extras sometimes, and they make life worth living in God's favor. I don't want to just live in God's love. You know, in school, you can call me, you know, a conniver if you want to. But man, I love doing stuff for the teacher. Because you know what it did? It put me in the teacher's favor. The teacher had to be fair across the board, but there are things that a teacher can do to increase favor. Man, I loved being the teacher's, you know, you get asked to do all kinds of cool stuff to get out of school, okay? I don't mind. Man, I was fixing light ballast when I was, you know, in seventh grade because I was in the teacher's favor. He said, hey, you want to fix that? I'll fix it. I can do that, all right? Why? Because I was in the favor. I know for a fact. You know that we call them snow answers on a test where, you know, if you're a teacher, you know what I'm talking about. You know, they ask for a specific thing or a list of specific things, but you're really not sure what the answer is. So you write a paragraph that's, you know, you needed a sentence. And this really works. I'm just helping you for if you're ever taking tests. But you write a paragraph, and you wax eloquent in your paragraph. You got to use proper grammar. Can you tell I know how what I'm doing here? But you got to use proper grammar. But you list as many possible things as you can possibly think of. And you hope that the teacher reads that and think, man, it's not quite exact, but it's pretty close. I think I'll give him that one. You know why? And I know for a fact. It's favor. You know, and honestly, I've graded tests before. And that, once again, if you get mad at me, you get mad at me. But you grade a test, and you can tell a child doesn't care. You can tell. When you grade a test, and I've graded lots of tests, okay? You can tell when a child doesn't care and really didn't study. And they get like a 70. You're at 70 points, and you've got 5 questions left. 70 is the cutoff for flunking the test. Okay, let's just use those numbers. 70 is the cutoff. And I've got a child who didn't care, and I can tell that they don't care. They're not earning any favor in my mind. Okay? And they come to one where it's one of them snow questions where it's like, I don't know, but that's really not quite what I'm looking for, what the test is looking for. And I can tell that that child doesn't care. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to flunk them. Because they don't care. Because they're not earning any favor. Now, I get a kid. Listen, I get a kid that has got a perfect 100% on the same test. Now, obviously, I can tell, does that child care? Is that child trying to do what's right? Yes. And they come to the same question, and they may have had the almost, not quite the same answer, but pretty close to the same answer. Remember, it's kind of one of them. It's a teacher's judgment call. Because that child has earned favor with me, not just, you know, out extracurricular, but favor in that thing, do you know what I'll be more likely to do? Like, you know, if I mark this wrong, it's going to be a 98. If I mark it right, they're going to get 100% on this test. They've showed that they tried. They did the best that they possibly could. You know what I'll do? I'll give them 100%. You know, I think God's that way too. God, you know, you say, boy, Chad, I don't think that's true. What about the man with the talents? Listen, what about the man with the talents? This parable of the story, you think, Brother Chad, that's unbiblical. Then you take me to the story of the talents and tell me how that's any different. God looked at 3 men. One of them did the very best he can. He got 10 talents. He doubled his talents. Second one got 2. He doubled them to 4. Third one took his talent. He didn't care about it. He wasn't seeking the favor. And he buried it in the ground. Did God say, well, I'm going to just give you that talent? No, what'd he do? He took it, and what'd he do with it? Gave it to the man with the first that tried, that had favor. So it's a biblical concept. And you know what, folks? I'd much rather live in God's favor than just live in God's love. I can do nothing that changes God's love for me, but I can sure do a whole lot that changes God's favor for me. So why not live in God's favor? Why not? It's a much more enjoyable life to live in God's favor than to live just in God's love. But first of all, God loves you first. God loves you first. Secondly, God's love gives to you. And then lastly, God's love never ceases. But remember this, even though it never ceases, determine to live in God's favor, not just in God's love. Because I think you'll enjoy life that way much more. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these folks listening to me and putting up with me this morning. I pray that you just bless them and help them. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.